I love being a pastor here at this church. It's kind of fun. I don't know if you can tell or not, but a lot of cool things. We got people raising their hands in worship. We got kids running around. They're not even my kids normally, just feeling the expression of God's spirit on the move at this place. And there's something to be celebrated with that. There's something to be celebrated with this band that was just up here as well. Can we give them a praise one more time? And what I love about that is that is a group of people who have been brought together by the Holy Spirit to share their gifts, right? To share the things that God has given them, the things that maybe at times have been a burden to them, or they're wondering what they're gonna do, or do I have what it takes, or whatever it is. But, and this is part of where we're going tonight, all of us have been gifted in some way. And what I love about this church as much as anything is constantly, I love when people come to me and say, whoa, how big is the staff at Hope? Like, it must just be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, right? No. In fact, if you compare most churches in this country to our size, we've actually got a pretty lean staff, and you know, it's not that noticeable. You know why? Because Hopesters get it. Over time, people have gotten the sense that they're gifted by God, that they have found the joy of serving, pouring their lives out to be a part of what God is doing here and around the city and even around this globe these days. If you're one of those people here tonight, I just want to kick this thing off tonight and just say thank you. If you have served, if you've ushered, if you've greeted, if you've sat through Hope Kids, if you've said hi to somebody you didn't know and were out of your comfort zone to make somebody feel welcome, can I just say thank you to you tonight? Can we give God praise for all the ways that people have served around here? Man, it is so fun to be a part of a church that is on the move. It's so fun to be in a relationship with a God who is on the move. Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to continue as we jump in here tonight. We're going to continue our next step in our sermon series we've been walking through. And I got to start with a story. Of course, I love starting sermons with stories. And I opened with this line in the chapel this morning, and some of the people kind of did a double take, like, what? I don't quite understand where you're going with this, but here we go. It goes like this. About a year ago, the flu visited my house. Right? How many, show of hands, how many thought that's where I was going to go tonight? We're going to start with the flu, right? No, that's not what you expect when you walk into a church. But here's the thing. About a year ago, the flu invaded my house. I have four kids at home, and it's my wife, Heather, and I, and we have so much fun together. But with, you know, a family environment with young kids around the house and daycare and school and everything else going on, right? Germs. We are a germ magnet. We can be a germ factory. And so about a year ago, we experienced this as well. And you started with the one of our middle kids and went to the youngest and went to our oldest child. And Heather and I just kind of sitting around bracing, thinking, okay, it's going to come. We're going to get sick. And sure enough, it happened. And of course, it happened in the middle of the night. All the kids have gotten past it. And so they're well rested and sleeping. And we're getting to bed like at 5 a.m., finally getting down for the night, and the kids are up in the morning, and we're like, what are we going to do with these kids, right? How are we going to make it through this day? And so I did what any dad would do, and I've told this story here before. I went onto iTunes, and I got not one, not two, all six at the time, Star Wars movies, right? Because what else would you do if you want to spend an entire day relaxing with your family, right? So we did that, and it was fantastic. I mean, here's what I thought that I was getting into. I thought I was getting a way for us to kill some time and kind of endure this day, right? What I found as we watched these movies, I think it changed something about our family. I mean, it sounds crazy to say, but I think it changed the fabric of the relationships in the Hermanson household. I mean, this is the best example I can prove of this. I mean, my daughter, my oldest, is sitting on the couch even a day after we watched all these movies, and she's reaching for a water bottle on the couch. She's reaching over to the end table, to the end of the couch, and I'm like, what are you doing, Gwyneth? She's like, well, Dad, I'm using the force to try and get my water bottle. That was one of my proudest moments as a parent, right? That was great. But it's taken on this identity in our house, and it's so much fun to get a part of this big story, this story that allows you to dream and make you think. It takes you off to another place. Like, it's great. And my family has loved it. And so when it came time for The Force Awakens to come out, right, there was no question whether or not we were going to go see this movie. And so we go and we see this movie. And it's great. We're sitting in there, right? I've got our tickets, and I've got the popcorn, and I've got the soda, and I made sure we're all ready to go. We're sitting there, and the previews are just starting to begin, and I heard this phrase. I heard one of my kids whisper to me this phrase that I had hoped I would not hear during this movie. Dad, I have to go to the bathroom. And so we go to the bathroom, we come back, the previews are done, the movie is just starting, we're getting into it. I'm just like, whoa, what's going on? Like, I'm trying to get my bearings, remember the characters and how all this stuff works, right? And I hear this phrase again. It's only been like 10 minutes. Dad, I have to go to the bathroom. I'm like, all right, let's go and do it, right? We go, and you think that's the end of the story, right? No, we go again, and we go again, and we go again. And like in the first hour of The Force Awakens, my kids, when the fifth time came that they asked if they could go to the bathroom, I'm sitting in the hallway as they're going to the bathroom. I'm just shaking my head, and I'm thinking this question. I'm thinking, why am I here? Why did I think this was a good idea, right? Why am I here? Now, I don't know about you, but it's a question that I've noticed, and maybe you've noticed other people as well. Why am I here is one of those questions. This is one of the big questions in life, right? I mean, it's one of those questions, I think, whether you realize it or not, in one way or another, sometimes it's explicitly, but other times it's implicitly, we're searching, and we're trying to figure out the answer to this question, why am I here? And I think that's really important for us to remember, especially as we're going to get into the topic that we're going to be talking about tonight, answering this question, why am I here? It's a good question, because if you can answer that question, it changes everything. I mean, it's like putting together a puzzle and having the picture on the front of the box. Have you ever tried to put together a puzzle? No, this never happens in my house where we lose the box. I'm like, how do you lose the box, right? You have all the pieces to this puzzle, but you don't know how to arrange things. Things just don't quite make sense because you need this bigger story. You need this bigger reason to kind of begin to make sense of things. Every once in a while, as a pastor here, I get to do pastoral care appointments, counseling with people, things like that. And man, when people walk into my office and they have this question, I mean, I'm trying to figure out God's will for my life. I'm trying to figure out why I'm here. There's something that just jumps out of me. And I'm sorry if I've ever done this to you, but when people begin to ask me this question, I mean, I just kind of go crazy on them. Because here's the thing, I just want to say, you have no idea what you're missing out on. You have no idea. If you take a look at God's story and what it says to you and what God wants to offer you in this purpose and this passion that he wants to give you absolute certainty about the reasons why you are here and why he's made you the way that you are. I mean, it changes everything. I talk to these people sometimes, and sometimes even people just on the street in casual conversation at the mall or whatever. And I just want to say, do you know this? Do you know that you have been wired? You have been wired for a dream. Human beings have been created to dream. We have been wired to dream, and we have been wired to dream big. Do you know this tonight as you're sitting in here? One of the things I did this week thinking about this is what we're talking about. We're talking about dreams and the fact that we've been wired not just to dream, but to dream big tonight. This week, I started thinking about some of the dreamers that we've experienced in the history of this world, the history of this country, and I could have put 24 people's photos up on this, but man, this is fun. Up here in the upper left-hand corner, right, you got the White brothers, or the Wright brothers. Can you imagine the first conversation those guys had, right? I mean, what would you have said if you're hanging out with them and they're like, hey, you know, you're just hanging out, and they're like casually like, oh yeah, we're gonna try and build a machine that probably weighs a lot, but it's gonna fly, right? You would have said, you're crazy, right? The woman just below them, Amelia Earhart, the first woman to fly solo across the Atlantic. I was looking her up this week. She has set so many records, and so many of them have not been beaten. She was the first to do many of these things. You don't find yourself in the cockpit of a plane with the world watching you unless you have something inside of you that's going to push you and allow you to dream. MLK, you ever heard of that guy? Right? I mean, one of his classic speeches, I Have a Dream. We've got Kennedy, who sent people to space. Launched that ambitious vision to get a man in space. Then there's Harriet Tubman, incredible abolitionist, movement maker, profound history. What I love about these people is they tell every single one of us that you and I have been wired for a dream, right? Just for 1 second, I want you to imagine the world that you and I live in without these people. Right, and I was going to put Steve Jobs, and I thought Bono could be on there, and they just, the list goes on and on and on of people that you could put on that screen. Where would the world be today if we didn't have dreamers? Amen? There's something about the power for you and I to dream that changes everything, and God has put that inside of you. And it got me thinking this week, I mean, where does this come from, right? This idea that you and I are born to dream. Well, I want to go back to the beginning. I think the beginning of the story tells us everything that we need to know about us. Genesis chapter 1 tells us everything that we need to know. Genesis 1 chapter 26, God is talking to himself, right? Because you can do that when you're Trinitarian, and it's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all present at creation. And this is what they say. Genesis 1, 26, God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. In the very verse, the next verse, it says this, and let's read these words together. It says, so God created human beings in his own image. Well, if that's true, what kind of image are we talking about here? What is the image of God that you and I have been created, right? If we have God's fingerprints all over us, what does that mean? Here's what I love about the character of God. If there was ever a person in this universe, if there was ever a presence or a personality or a being in this universe that was absolutely allergic to the status quo, right? Just playing it safe, taking it easy, never venturing further, never making new things happen, right? Then it would be the God of the universe. Creation, the Exodus, the cross, all of these stories that we have in this story known as God's story, the only story that's big enough, by the way, to anchor our life, to answer life's biggest questions and hold up despite the most critical of tests, man, it changes everything. We've been created in this image to be a dreamer. God isn't allergic to the status quo. He loves to do new things. All of these stories that have come, they change everything because they happened. Because God thinks about something, he hears about something, he sees something, his kids in need, in slavery in Egypt, and he does something about it. He can envision it, and then God's dreams happen. God is quite the dreamer, and guess what? Maybe this is news for some of us tonight. You have been created in the image of God. So that makes you what? That makes you a dreamer. Turn to the person next to you, punch him in the arm if you need to tonight to wake him up, and say, hey, you're a dreamer, baby. Right? This is who you are. You're a dreamer. You are, right? Are you? Even as I was kind of working through some of this stuff, I began to feel some hesitancy in my own spirit thinking about this, right? Oh, dreamers, they're just people, right? They're too heavenly minded for any earthly good, right? They're the people that just, they always look in the future. They're never satisfied with what's going on. Are you a dreamer? Maybe the better question to ask tonight is, were you? What happened? We're in this series talking about these five leaps of faith, radical discipleship for everyday Christians, for regular, ordinary, plain old Christians. Yes, that's you and I. You and I are called to radical discipleship, and it doesn't necessarily mean you have to memorize the entire Bible. Although that would probably be really helpful and really cool. I think God would bless that. I think one of the things that God's calling us to, there are these journeys that we must take. Jesus eventually is going to invite us on. If we're gonna follow him into his kingdom, one of them is going to be acknowledging and strengthening your relationship with your dreams. What are your dreams? What are your dreams? This is one of those journeys that God calls us to take to get in touch with the desires of your heart, with the longings of your heart, and with your dreams. But I wanna ask you tonight, are you even willing to go there? Right? There are so many different places that you and I could find ourselves in our relationship with our dreams. And I figured I could talk about that or I could just make a point with it. So here's the thing, right? You and I think from God have been wired to have a dream in your heart. There's somewhere in there, but there's something that happens to us as we go through this life, right? By the way, in case you're wondering what this is a backpacking stove. And yes, I'm actually going to light this in the worship center. Don't worry, I have permission. Right? Because here's what God's been teaching me. I feel like our relationship with our dreams is so much like a campfire. And I emailed my boss. I said, can I build a campfire on stage? And they said, no, you can't do that. So this is what I have. Right? Here's what happens. Here's what happens when you and I catch God's dream for our life. Right? And maybe it's just a whisper as a kid. Maybe you're naive enough to think that you can be what you want to be when you grow up. Maybe you've caught something. Maybe you've seen something. Maybe you're like my seven-year-old the other day and you were watching the Olympics and gymnastics all of a sudden, right? You see 5 minutes of Simone Biles and gymnastics goes from this have to an absolute get to, right? I mean, she's bouncing all over the house. We're telling her to calm down just a little bit, right? Because she's red hot. She's caught this dream from God. And as you and I, we catch these dreams, we do the exact same thing. Maybe it's when you're a little kid. Maybe it's something that's happened recently. It just depends. Right? But dreams are a lot like fire. They're a lot like campfires because as they go, we start out red hot. The flames can be big, right? But then there's the weather. There's the things that happen to us as we live this life. And as it rains, as the wind picks up, maybe things get a little smaller, right? Maybe your fuel tank starts running a little low. You're not taking care of yourself. You're not protecting this dream that God has given you. And maybe, just maybe, you ran into the wrong person who said the wrong thing at the wrong time, and you watched your dream in an instant. You watched your dream evaporate. You see, you and I, we come and we want to talk about these dreams tonight. You and I have been created to burn with passion for the dreams that God has given us. This is who God is. This is what he does. Why else would you send your son to rescue people who don't even want to be rescued? Because you are passionate about them, because you have a dream to rescue them. You and I have created for the exact same thing, and yet life seems to get in the way. I don't know where you're at tonight, but I want you to know that you are in the right place, because the Creator has something to say to you tonight. He has something to engage you. But if we're gonna go there tonight, if we're gonna talk about our dreams, if we're gonna wrestle with them, the next question I've gotta ask you tonight is this. It's, what is your dream? What is your dream, and how is your dream going? Think about that tonight. And if you wanna do yourself a favor, if you wanna do me a favor tonight, one of the things I would encourage you to do, maybe it's for the end of the service, maybe it's before you go to bed tonight, is to take out that bulletin and to write your dream across it. What is your dream these days? What is your God-given, your God-sized dream these days? As you think about that, I want to tell you something that God did to me this week as I was on this journey. This is a good family friend of ours. This is their oldest daughter. And I don't know if this is a new thing or not, but I've realized lately that it seems like a lot of people... I remember, you can always tell the first day of school, right? Because you can tell when West Des Moines or Waukee or Urbandale or whatever starts, because Facebook just blows up with pictures of kids on their first day of school, right? Poor kids, drug out there, maybe you had to do this as well, and they make you write the sign, they do all these things. But I've noticed this new trend this year, and it seems to be taking off. Not only do we need the name and the grade and the teacher and the date and all that kind of stuff, right? But this is a great example. I saw our friends did this on Facebook, right? They have something up in the corners. On the right, right, my favorite thing is, and she gets a gold star because she filled in the blank with mom and dad, right? And I'm looking at them, I'm thinking, oh, that's really cool. Man, her parents are awesome. We love them. They're great family friends. They are clearly doing something right, right? And I'm looking at this, and I go over to the left-hand corner here, and there's this other question. I've seen a lot of people ask this too. When I grow up, I want to be... Right? And I'm reading this and I'm looking this and I look over and this is our good family friend. And this is what she has to say. When I grow up, I want to be a Walmart worker. And I look at that and I say, oh my goodness, right? Way to shoot for the moon. Oh, that's cute. Good, right? And then the Holy Spirit got a hold of me for a second, because I did the exact same thing. And God went to work on my heart and really began to teach me something. You see, here's the thing about dreams, and I just want to be really clear when we talk about this tonight. One of the expressions, one of the phrases that we like to use around here is God-sized dreams, right? And the temptation when we think about God-sized dreams would be to hear me say something like, you need to be the next Mother Teresa. Billy Graham is your goal. Go for it, right? Become a pastor. Do all these crazy things, right? What if your goal is something like becoming a Walmart worker? What if your goal is just to get through the next day, right? What if your dream is to get healthy again, to renew or to restore this broken relationship? I had this whole conversation with the Holy Spirit this week about this picture and about that dream to be a Walmart worker someday. You know what God said to me? He said, why don't you think I can build the kingdom with people that shop at Walmart? Don't people who go to Walmart, don't they need Jesus too? And I said, well, yeah, especially, right? Can I get an amen? No, I'm just kidding. Right, but there's something about that. It would be so easy for you and I to label and to laugh at other people's dreams. And all I'm saying, I'm not making anybody feel bad tonight, but I think there's something that you and I, as we follow Jesus, we need to be really careful and really respectful about people's dreams. Because man, that fire... Right? That fire is so fragile. And maybe this one's going to move along, but if she has a negative experience like that, what's the next one going to be like, right? We start to go into our shells. The fire gets a little dimmer with that. I think I owe this little girl an apology. And I know this isn't my first time. So I think that's something powerful for us to do. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've sat in my office and I've heard, or in conversation with people at in the bridge or whatever it is, in the atrium after the service. And basically, people don't say this, but I think they say things where they mean this sometimes, because I'm always inviting people into something bigger than what they're already doing. If that means serving here, if that means getting to know your neighbors across the street, whatever, like, let's do it, right? Life's too short to mess around. Let's get after it. But what I hear people say when I challenge them with that kind of stuff is basically, I'm just a JV Christian, right? I mean, I'm just an usher who loves to welcome people and make sure they know that Jesus loves them, right? I'm just the neighbor who can hear the couple next door arguing, and I can tell those kids have no clue what's going on right now, right? You can just see this. I'm just the neighbor that wants to love that family, right? You hear the problem with that? It's not biblical. And if you walked in tonight and you're thinking this idea, like, my gifts don't matter, I'm just a whatever it is, right? It's a disease that's going around, the just a sickness, I'm just a fill in the blank, whatever it is that you want to label yourself as tonight. I want you to know that God has so much more for you. If you're in that line of thinking, Houston, we have a problem, because that's not biblical. God's got so much for you. I love what Ephesians chapter 2 says. You want to know the gospel? You want to know God's story? You want to know the story that covers everything? Ephesians chapter 2 is such a great way to get through that in one chapter. Paul starts it off in the beginning and he says, once you were dead in your sins, but very quickly, a couple verses later, he says, you have been made alive in Christ. And he starts reminding us in verses 8 and 9 of this chapter that you didn't do this yourself. This isn't something you get to take credit for. No, no, no. God gets the credit for this in Jesus Christ. You didn't choose Jesus. Jesus chose you and he's rescued you. You don't get to take credit for this. And the question we're still left asking as we read the part of this chapter is why? Why did God do all this, right? Is he just a nice guy? Why did he do this? Verse 10 tells us everything that you and I need to know about who we are, who God has created us to be, and what it means to be a dreamer in this world. Let's read these words together on the screen as well. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he has planned for us long ago. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has a dream for your life? I would argue tonight that he does. And if you don't know what it is, that's totally fine. But to not start that journey to figure that out, to not get in touch with your heart and figure out what God has put you on this planet for, I think is a missed opportunity. We're talking about dreams tonight, right? And there are challenges. There are challenges. The biggest challenge, I think, is that not all dreams are created equal as well. I put a picture of my minivan up here because we bought a new minivan about 3 or 4 months ago, and I had this dream of having this beautiful automobile. It's one of the nicest things I've ever owned, right? I actually wash it and try and take care of it when I have time, which is why I was heartbroken when I walked outside the other day and there was a scratch from the front bumper all the way down the driver's side, all the way around to the back bumper. Dream busted, right? I think there's something about dreaming small. It's possible for you and I to dream small because not all dreams have been created equal. In fact, there's something we have to be careful of too with our dreams. If we're not careful, the dreams that we choose to hitch our wagons to discern and to follow with passion in our life, well, they can take us in a totally different direction. What's the dream that you find yourself most passionately following these days? And how are you going to get there? This is what God has to say about anything that we're pursuing in our lives. He says, unless the Lord builds the house, the work of the builders is wasted. See, the thing that you and I need to think about when it comes to our dreams, are they God-given dreams? Are they God-centered dreams? Are they God-sized dreams? One of the questions people ask me most often is, how do I find my dream? What does that look like? Well, that's where our story from Isaiah chapter 6 comes in today. Here's the thing, biblically speaking, and all you have to do is start talking to people like Paul, like Moses, and even Isaiah, reading their stories, right? Here's the thing about their dreams. Their dreams are not selected by them. Their dreams find them, right? We don't find our dreams most often. Our dreams find us. At least that's exactly what happens to Isaiah, which he ends his story with answering this call. Here I am, he says, send me. But it happens as he's spending time with God. He has this vision and he jumps right into it in the beginning of chapter 6. And basically what happens to Isaiah as he's on this journey with God is he has this vision, and the holiness of God basically shows up and just punches him in the face. Right? I mean, have you ever had an experience like that with God where it literally took your breath away? I mean, I've maybe had one or two in my entire life, but there were moments where it wasn't just tears of joy. I mean, it was almost what I would call a holy terror. And that's what these seraphims are talking about in this passage. They start saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, right? He's saying he's to be worshiped. He's bigger than anything you could imagine. I mean, he's more powerful than your humanity can possibly physically, tangibly handle, right? I mean, to be in God's full presence, this is how potent his presence is a death sentence. And yet this is where Isaiah finds himself. I mean, he just sees the corner of his robe. He doesn't see his face. So he's only got a part of God's presence. But it's enough to level him. And he finds himself face down on the ground, feeling about 2 inches tall. And he says, I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. Like, God, who am I to be in your presence? You see, when we come face to face with God, that's what happens. We begin to realize who we really are as well. And things begin to change. The seraphim comes over, purifies him, forgives his sins basically through this ritual that's happening. And notice then that's when he can hear God's voice. When he thinks it's all over, he walks out of the room with a mission, with his dream. We don't find the dreams find us more often than not. But what does that look like? There's a scholar named Frederick Buechner who's got a great quote that's really helpful for me, I think, in explaining to people. Let's jump to the next slide if we could. This is what he has to say. When people come to me and they say, why am I here? Where is God calling me? What does that look like? This is one of the best phrases, I think, that really can help people narrow this stuff down. This is what he says. He says, the place that God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Deep gladness on the one hand, right? And deep need or deep hunger on the other. I think about it just a little bit differently, but basically, I'm not drawing the Olympic rings. I'm just drawing 3 circles to help us think about this, right? I mean, he talks about the world's deep hunger, and I think that's true. Part of finding our dream, honestly, if it's a God-given dream, is looking for the world's need. And you're thinking, well, what does that mean? What are the things about this world that you can't unsee? The things that break your heart, that move you, that's what we're talking about here tonight. But he also talks about your deep gladness. And I break deep gladness into 2 parts. The first part is your passion, right? Passion is simply defined as something that you're willing to do something about. It's simply defined as something that you're willing to suffer for. I am not very passionate about my health these days because I have the hardest time working out, right? I don't want to pay money to go to a gym to suffer. That's what I would define running on a treadmill as. Many people do, and I'm still trying to figure that one out. God's working on me on that one, right? But what are the things that you are willing to do something about, right? If you can combine that with these things that you can't unsee, the things you can move, make a difference about, and that's where our third part comes in here. It comes back to our giftedness, our spiritual gifts, our skills. Here's what happens when these 3 things collide: your need, the world, your eyes and your ears are engaged in seeing these needs. When that meets with your heart, that is your passion, and with your hands and your feet, your talents and your skills, when those things come together, what we find in this sweet spot are the kinds of things that make us, without question and usually with ease, you just say, God, here I am, send me. Help me to do something about that. Those are the things you need to be thinking about if you want to find your dream, because when those things collide, things begin to change. When those things collide, when the Holy Spirit brings these things and opens up our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our hands to see this world around us and help us realize and even find the confidence in him, not in us, but in him, to be able to do something about this, things begin to change. Hope is born. And if there's one thing that begins to happen that I think I need to leave you with tonight as we talk about our dreams, I think it's this simple reminder that dreams happen, right? We talk about this with creation and the cross and Exodus and everything else tonight, right? God has an incredible track record of dreaming things and watching them come to pass. And he wants to do the same thing with you tonight. Whatever this dream is, I don't want you to put it down. I don't want you to let this flame go out. God loves you too much to let that happen. Instead, I think he wants you to go after it and remember that dreams happen. That's where James comes in, and I want to close with his story tonight. He's been an addict, a heroin addict, for over 20 years. What's James's God-sized dream? Well, it's not to go change the world. I think it's simply to change himself so that he can relate to this world again. His dream is to get healthy. His dream is to find his family and to connect with them again. And this documentary that I found just shows the beginning steps of this journey for him. But as you watch his dreams begin to come true, ask yourself this question: can you even envision what your dream looks like in reality? God's given you this dream. My encouragement to you is not to waste time finding it, pouring into it, rekindling the flame. That's what you need. God loves you too much to let this flame go out. So let's find it together. Amen. Would you stand? God, we say thank you to you tonight for the gift of dreams. God, for the passion that you have for us. God, I pray as we worship you now, you'd speak to us, God, that we would glorify you, that you would reveal to us your plan for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.